Osiris.
What's up? This is Ryan Stasek from Humphreys McGee. This podcast is part of the Osiris podcast family. Osiris is a growing community of music and culture podcasts, connecting music fans with conversation, commentary, and of course, lots of music. Osiris works in partnership with Relics Magazine. Osiris.
Hey, everybody. I'm here with Jesse Lauder, who's the host of the Relics Audio Hour. What's up, Jesse? Thanks for joining.
Hey, RJ. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You're
good.
Just back from two nights in Albany, and I think on your way to another thing. You're in the music industry, so you're like constantly on the move. Are you pretty exhausted from two nights of fish?
I'm not exhausted at all. I was actually quite invigorated by them, the whole vibe in Albany, and it was a perfect little middle of the week getaway, and just a really good indication of what's to come for fish in the fall, to be honest, man. Yeah, I thought they sounded phenomenal.
That's so good to hear. I'm excited to see them tomorrow night in Hampton, and I guess let's just talk a little bit about the first set of last night, because I think you got the crowd control opener, which it had been a while. You never know when those are going to pop up.
Yeah, sorry, you cut out there, RJ.
Sorry. You got a crowd control opener, which doesn't happen that often, right? But then
right
right into a really long and beautiful chuck dust.
Yeah, I usually for whenever they open with crowd control, I it generally indicates to me that it's going to be a great show. Maybe that's because I was at SF3 in 2012 and that show opened with crowd control. And what was the other one that was great? Did 111 open with crowd control?
Yeah,
whatever. It was like
there's a lot. Yeah, it's true.
Whenever they open with crowd control, it's always an indication that it's going to be a great night. Like, I'm not going to say like last night's going to be a show that I go back to, and there's definitely a lot of flaws which I do not really want to point out in last night's show, but the crowd control chalk dust opening was pretty special. And the thing that really stuck out to me, RJ, is, and something that I find that most fans of this band don't really talk about, is that their vocals sounded really great. Mm-hmm. I was blown away by the singing, and it was so consistent throughout the night. Even like if you listen to Slave, which was the second or last song in the second set, listen to Trey and Paige. Their vocals are great. They're clearly rehearsing, or like breathing practices are on point. And to me, it's like if they're singing well, that's only going to influence their playing. And I felt like there was a lot of fantastic moments in last night's show. Obviously, the chalk dust is what everyone's going to be talking about. The most energized the room got was in the light jam. The Mercury into Light was really fantastic. But, you know, and a lot of people, you know, you hear a lot of moans when they come out of chalk dust into All of These Dreams. But going back to the singing, their singing was fantastic on that song. I thought All of These Dreams was a beautiful selection for the first set. I love that song. It's one of their more elegant songs, you know, like from a songwriting standpoint. And I just had a great time last night and the night before. I just think that they're really on to something. And, you know, if this is how tour is going to begin, there's going to be lots of treats down the line.
Cool. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I noticed some extra effort by Trey in some of the singing of the first night. I forget what song. Maybe like Haley's Comet or something, you know, something where they usually just sort of run through it. But it seemed like, yeah, recommitting to vocals is kind of an interesting trend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you what that tells us about Halloween, but I can wait. And I can wait on that.
Oh, boy. I don't want to even think about how what that's going to indicate for Halloween. My selection, which if you saw my video, is Electric Ladyland, which doesn't require the greatest of vocals, but you know, but who knows? Maybe it's going to be a record where they really need to sing their asses off. We'll see.
Yeah. So what were some of your highlights in terms of jams from last night? You mentioned Mercury into Light. That was really good. The chalk dust in the first set. Anything else stick out to you musically from last night?
It was definitely like a moment in Set Your Soul Free for a couple minutes. I think like somewhere probably around the 12-minute mark. That was really great. You know, I think to me, it's funny. It's like, I didn't want to point out the flaws, but the thing that, you know, was like an absolute disaster last night, but was also kind of fun to watch and see how they navigated through it, was Birds of a Feather.
Oh, yeah.
Which, so what happened there is that Trey had his loop going off at the end of Set Your Soul Free, and it was in the key of D. And he went into Birds, which is in C. So there was this little tug of war between D and C happening for a bit. And then the band committed to D, which is not the key of the song. And they did a really great job. There was like one point after like the first chorus where Paige tried to bring it back to C, but Trey was like, no, we're committing to D. We're going to play the song a whole step up. And then when it goes into the instrumental, interlude, the final, they did not land that. And then it just like the song just transitioned to C. So it was sort of like, you know, it's obviously the word that every Fishhead uses is a train wreck, but
right.
You know, I love seeing stuff like that happen, you know, like they're humans, they are flawed, they make mistakes, and that's the beauty of a live show. You see how a band navigates you know, through this insanity, but it's like, you know, hey, they're playing all nine innings of that show like a full, like you could just tell they're just having a ball on stage, like it was nothing. And to me, Paige was like out of control. He's just banging on the keys like it's like, I don't know, man. I just think it's just, they're on fire right now. And I am very, very excited for, I'm not seeing them until Vegas, but I really hope they don't blow their wad in Hampton, because Vegas is priming to be something, you know?
Yeah. So what do you think, like you mentioned at the beginning of the call, that this is turning out or setting up to be a good tour? And I think the I was at the Tahoe shows that started this summer, and they were fine. You know, there were some moments, and it was they were both sort of mid-tier shows or whatever. But it seems like this was like a bit better start than at least summer. Last summer, you can't really compare it to because of Baker's Dozen and everything, but it does seem like they're maybe starting from a higher level than the past few tours if you take out Baker's Dozen.
I would also say it was probably had to do a lot with the fact that it was the, you know, even though they played the Dick shows, you know, after the curveball cancellation, like this was the local show to the curveball site. You know, there's a lot of people in that room who probably, I would say a majority of the people in that room were supposed to be at curveball, and there's no way that the band didn't go on stage on Tuesday night without that in mind. So, you know, it wasn't just going to be like, yeah, we're going to run through these songs. These are going to be warm-up shows. They wanted to play great shows. Trey said at the end of last night's, at the end of the encore, right before they went to Rocky Top, it's like, this is basically our hometown show, I think is what he said. And so, you know, they gave it their all. It was just so nice to see them, you know, just sounding this solid at the beginning of a tour. And I think Fish fans, you know, get ready. It's going to be a great, great fall.
That's awesome. And we will see you for our November 1st Couch Report. You're going to join us to talk about Halloween.
Wait. I'm going to be an expert on whatever album they play the night before. Maybe I'm already an expert on that record,
you,
RJ.
I hope you are. Any other big takeaways from this two nights? Like, I know we didn't talk much about the first night, but musically, you think they're obviously, we talked about that, their strong start, vocals. Did you notice anything else musically or anything worth noting?
I just don't understand how John Fishman seems to be getting better and better. You know, it's just like every time I see him, I'm just like, how does John Fishman keep this up? It is just incredible. His pocket is so strong. Mike is just right there in with him. You know, so goes the rhythm section, so goes the band. So
yes.
It's just, you know, and Trey, and he sounded great. And as I already said before, Paige was dynamite, you know. All four cylinders were flying, and you know, when that happens, that's Fish. And they were having fun. I loved Scent of a Mule in the first set last night. Like, to me, that's like definitive Fish, the Jewgrass, I guess you can call it. And I just, you know, I had a ball, man.
Better you than me, man.
Yeah.
better you than me with
absolutely.
Mule.
Absolutely.
No,
the rabbi.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, anyway, yeah. All right.
So Jesse, thank you. One thing I should say, so goes the rhythm section, so goes the band. If people haven't heard it, they should listen to your interview with George Porter and Mickey Hart on Relics Audio Hour. That was really cool.
That was really cool to listen to. Relics Audio Hour, we're going to have more interviews like that, pairing musicians that aren't necessarily in bands with each other, but maybe have a history with each other. I can probably tell people what the next episode is. We have Carl Bramel, the lead guitarist from My Morning Jacket, speaking with myself and Nels Klein, the lead guitarist of Wilco. So two incredible lead guitarists. So if you listen to the Mickey and George episode, that's a whole episode about, bass and drums, rhythm sections. And then this is an episode about, you know, being a lead guitarist for two of, in my opinion, the best rock and roll bands playing, aside from the Fish from Vermont. talking about playing lead guitar in the 21st century. So it's a great conversation and should go live next week.
That's awesome, man. Well, congrats on the success so far. I'm looking forward to continuing to listen. And we'll see you on the Couch Report. So get back to your day. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, my nerd convention.
I'm
at the Audio Engineer Society convention here in New York.
Grand society that it is.
Learning how to make podcasts sound better. How's that?
That's amazing. That's exactly what we should be doing.
Absolutely.
So we're going to leave people with a little bit of music. Any specific jam you should think we should play people a part of from last night?
All of These Dreams.
Cool.
I'm going to force you to listen to All These Dreams, everyone. Do it.
Perfect.
Don't go to the bathroom.
Lovely. It's a lovely version. All right, Jesse. Well, thank you so much for joining, man.
All right, buddy. You take care.
Okay.
There is a place on the mountain nearby, deep in a cave, but it's up rather high. There in the darkness are safely concealed all of the dreams that you never reveal. And if you go there, and after you do, all of these dreams would be yours to pursue the rest of your lifetime, devoid of a care. If you keep your eyes open, you may find yourself there. Such is the promise, such is the curse. You could just live your life better or worse, knowing the cache of dreams up on that hill beckons and sways but won't bend to your will. You might find a river though under a mountain that leads a remote subterranean fountain. Drink from this taste, just a hint of a dream that somehow leaked into the underground stream. And if you go there, and after you do, all of these dreams would be yours to pursue the rest of your lifetime, devoid of a care. If you keep your eyes open, you may find yourself there. Thank you. of your lifetime, devoid of a care. If you keep your eyes open, you may find yourself there. If you keep your heart